to preach today or not. And, you know, I wondered why God had given me such a short message, and I didn't know all this was going to happen today. But I just want to get this word out there to you, because God gave me a word at the end of the message today, that a prophetic word to you that I want to get out there in the atmosphere. So I won't keep you much longer, but what I'm going to do is just go over what all has been happening in the service. Between the songs Ricardo was led to sing and Miriam preaching, and she says she don't preach, but from Miriam's preaching to even the scriptural burden used later and some of the things the brother was saying, it's what I was going to preach. So I'm just going to confirm what they said, or they're going to confirm what I'm going to say. Amen? Amen. So we're going to just go over this real quick and get this prophetic word out there in the atmosphere so that you can grab a hold of it, okay? But we're going to be talking about God's grace just for a few minutes. And we know that God's grace is God's unmerited favor. It's kindness from God that we don't deserve. There's nothing we've done or ever can do to earn this favor. It's a gift from God. And, you know, grace isn't permission to live any way you want, but it's power to overcome. It's power that enables you to live an overcoming life here on this earth today. The word grace is used 155 times in the New Testament and over 100 times in the writings of Paul alone. At least 24 times in Romans. Grace, the heart of the gospel. Grace, the heart of God. Amen. So not only does it provide for our salvation, it enables us, as I said, to live an abundant life through Jesus here on this earth now. And you know, as I've always said, we need the word now. We need help on the way now, because when we get to heaven, it's all going to be accomplished and it's all going to be finished anyway. Amen. So Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, and Laverne said it for a little bit of it, 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God I am." Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "You're looking at God's grace. You're looking at God's grace." Amen. "By the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." So when you look at your neighbor, you can say, "I am the grace of God." You're looking at nothing less but the grace of God. So people run around all the time trying to be something and do something they're not. That's when life gets hard. And you've heard me say it more than once. You are the grace of God. You are created in his image. You don't have to be anything other than that. And when life gets hard, it's when we try to be something we're not. You're not anything other than a child of God. It's like I said, that time that chair was made to sit in. Now, you can use that chair for a whole lot of other things besides the purpose it was created for. Now, we can take our lives and we can live it all in kinds of ways, but to serve us to the glory of God, and we won't reap the benefits of a life abundant here on this earth. Amen? Amen? So it's not by mistake that God, that you are who you are, that you live where you live, that you've been through the things you've experienced. The best thing you can do for yourself is to joyfully celebrate who you are. And a lot of folk have a hard time celebrating who they are. But you can look in the mirror and you can say, "By the grace of God, I am, and I can celebrate myself. I'm looking mighty fine today." Amen. Amen. If God was here today sitting in front of us and we could see him with our natural eye, I want you to know today that he would be your greatest encourager. He wants you to make it. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to celebrate your life, celebrate others around you. He would be your greatest encourager. He told David, was it David one time? He said, you know, encourage yourself. So David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Glory to God. So after all, he created you, and you are here because of his grace. This means he made you the way he did on purpose. He made that crooked smile of yours for a reason. Amen. He made that funny laugh you have for a reason. Don't try to change who you are. This means he made you the way he did on purpose, for a purpose, and it was his purpose. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and God does not make mistakes. Amen. He does not make mistakes. Romans 9:14 says, "What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means." Verse 16 said, "It depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy." But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Well, what is molded say to its molder? Why have you made me like this? So when you are down on yourself and you are not celebrating yourself, you're just saying, "God, I don't think you did a good job when you made me."
Romans 9:21 says, has the potter no right over the clay to mark out of the same lump one vessel for honor and another for dishonorable use? So when you don't celebrate yourself and appreciate who you are, you are saying, God, you didn't make me right. You left something out. You didn't make me complete. You needed to do something different. I needed to be a different color. I needed to have straight hair. I needed to have curly hair. I needed to have blue eyes. And you know what? The society in which we live in has made it so easy for us to try to change who we are, and there's nothing wrong with doing things to make ourselves look better. I'm not saying that. But when you do that to define who you are, you are saying that God didn't make you like you should have been. Amen? So this does not mean we resign our life to be whatever it will be. It means we work harder to fulfill and discern God's purposes for us here on this earth now. Paul said in the previous verse, verse 9 in Corinthians 15, 15:10, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Then he goes on to say, verse 10 that I read a while ago, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, he said, I did all that. I killed Christians. I persecuted the church. I didn't want anything to do with them. And I'm the least who have been called to do what I'm doing, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain. Paul has said, I'm not what I am, but not because of anything I have done or could do. It's the gift of grace, God's favor. And one of the worst things people can do is get stuck in the past. As Ricardo said, there's nothing wrong with looking back at where you come, because it propels you to go further in God. But when you go back to get stuck there and define your life of the past and from the past, it's when you get stuck in the present and you can never go forth into the future. So people get stuck in the past. They can never get beyond what they used to be or where they come from or what they did. What would have happened if Paul had decided just to stay stuck in the past? What if he said, yeah, God got knocked off the donkey, God changed my name and all this happened, but I'm not going to go on and do what he's called me to do because I am a persecutor of the church. But he didn't stay there. What would have happened if Paul decided to stay stuck in his past? My goodness, church, we wouldn't know about the grace of God. We wouldn't know that God could take somebody like Paul and use him like he used him to teach us about God's grace, to teach us about the grace of God. He was one of the leaders of the first generation of Christians, often considered to be the second most important person in the history of Christianity. Paul decided not to stay stuck in the past and not to define the past of who he was and what God had called him to do. He was Saul at one time, but after his encounter with Jesus, he had a name change from Saul to Paul. We don't have a name change on our birth certificate when we get saved. It's still going to be the same, but you're no longer going to be defined as a drug addict. You're no longer going to be defined as a prostitute. You're no going to be longer defined as a liar or a thief. But when people look at you, they're going to say, highly favored of the Lord, healed of the Lord, blessed of the Lord, and encourager of the Lord. Ha! Somebody come on now. God has changed your name from sinner to a child of God. You are a saint now. Hallelujah. Woo! Don't get stuck in the past. Use it to propel you into the future. So that's what happens with you and I. Our name doesn't change on our birth certificate, but it changes on the birth certificate we get from God. Amen. Amen. So it has changed us from what was to what is. You know that song that we sang, Redeemed, haunted by the ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondered how long is this going to last. Then you looked at me, this prisoner, and said to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. Stop fighting a fight that's already been won. As I said before, let's continue to say it until you get it, that I know that you got it. In other words, stop trying to get what you already got. Stop trying to get what I've already given you and just believe and receive. But who I say you are, because you are saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God. It's a gift. You receive it or you don't receive it. It's by grace that I've made you, called you, forgiven you, set you apart, made you different than anyone else. You are unique by God, for my glory and for your blessing. You have a new name, a new life. The old man inside of you is dead and long gone. And the only way to be resurrected is in your thoughts, and if you continually bring him up and try to define your life by that. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God wants you to abound in everything that you put your hands to. Amen? So God's grace enables us to be all that God intended for us to be and intended for us to do while we're here on this earth. All my life, that song says, I've been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. Woo! In Psalms 3, David said, many are they that are saying there is no help for him in God. Like with Carter's testimony, people look and say, well, there ain't no help for him in God. You hear people say, well, even God can't help them? That's a lie. But you, O Lord, David says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Woo! Sounds like God's grace is being bestowed upon David. Many are saying, David, there's no help for you. You've been run out of Jerusalem. Your son's against you. He's causing the people to follow him instead of you. Now you're shamed and put to disgrace. But David goes before the Lord, and he says, Lord, you're my shield. All the people back there in Jerusalem saying, there's no hope for me now. But I know that you're my shield, and I know that you're my glory, and I know that you're the lifter of my head. So others may look at you and say, there's not help for him. There's no help for her. David, there are many that are saying that about me, he said. But when you're living in the past and you're not understanding and receiving God's grace, you will walk around with your head bowed down. That's why the devil wants to twist the gospel of grace so much. He doesn't want you to begin to get a revelation of it. Because I'm telling you, church, once you get a revelation of God's grace and God's love, you will start living in a way that you've never lived before. Life quits being a struggle. When you begin to get a revelation and the word of grace and the God's love for you, life quits being a struggle at that point. You just begin to walk in which you begin to find out who you are. So God is whispering grace to you today. Lift up your head. He says, I've taken the shame away. God is the lifter of your head. Have you ever walked with your head bowed down? I remember somebody that gave their testimony, had been diagnosed with lung cancer. They were given no hope. And he said, after I got the diagnosis, started the treatments, he said, life suddenly became alive to me like it never had before. He said, before I would walk in the store and I had one mission on mine, is to go in there and get what I got to get out. I never made eye contact with anybody. I kept my head down. And he said, suddenly when I was diagnosed with this, I began to realize that life is more than just about me. And I began to take notice of people around me. I began to make eye contact with them. And I began to smile at them and talk to me. And he said, life began to take a hold. Why? Because his head was lifted up at that point. He began to call on God, his healer and his deliverer. And that's what brought that, came alive in him, that awakened what was already in there. Amen? So God is to lift your head. When something is lifted up, it is no longer in the position it used to be. When I lift this Bible up, it's no longer in the position it used to be. I can take it from here to there. It's no longer, it has a different perspective now. So when you lift your head up, it takes up on a whole new meaning. You begin to get a different perspective of things. You begin to get a different outlook of things. And I sense God is wanting the people to shout grace to the past. Whatever you're facing today, begin to shout grace to it. Whatever is in your past that you're stuck at a certain point, begin to shout grace. Grace to your past. Shout grace to the present. Shout grace to the future. My grace, God is saying to us today, and here's your word. My grace is a shield from the past that wants to haunt you. My grace is favor for the present so that blessings will overtake you. And my grace is hope for the future that I do all things well in due season. Hallelujah. But it shall be neither by your might nor by your power, but by my spirit, that I will open the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing upon you so great that you will not have room enough to receive them. Your due season has come. So ask and ask largely. God told us a few weeks ago to stretch out the borders or stakes of our tent, make elbow room. Your due season has come, so ask and ask largely because we serve a large God. Shout grace and shout it loudly, for the wealth that the wicked have stored up for themselves shall be released to my righteous ones for my righteous purpose. The wealth that has been hidden from you, taken from you, for whatever reason, God says it's due season and it will be restored.
Amen.
Woo! Come on, somebody. My faith, by faith, you will release my grace in the bounty of heaven, and I shall overwhelm and amaze you at my provision in this new season, your due season. For while there is famine in the land, there shall be abundance at my house for the faithful.
Amen.
Let me receive that word today. Stand to your feet. Lord, we receive that word from you today. Whatever's in our life that's holding us back, God, whether it's our health, finances, or whatever, we shout grace to it. I want you to get a picture of something in your mind that you're believing God for. If you have health in your body, that your body is not working like it should. If you have a debt of finances or whatever, I want you to get that in your head, and we're going to shout grace to it in the name of Jesus. So I just want you to begin to shout out grace. God's marvelous grace. We shout grace to the mountain of debt. We shout grace to sickness and disease that have come to take lives too early in the name of Jesus. We shout grace to it. We speak that his heart is fixed, O Lord. His heart is fixed, O Lord. Hallelujah. We speak strength to his body in the name of Jesus. We believe that the report of the Lord said that he's healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. His heart is fixed. Your heart is fixed, Linda, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The past can become a mountain if we wanted to. But like Paul, someone is waiting for our testimony. Amen. And we speak grace to the names that are on this prayer list today that need healing, that needs deliverance, that needs a salvation. We speak grace to those things in the name of Jesus. Grace, God's marvelous grace bestowed upon these people in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I speak a blessing over you, church. I speak God's favor and God's blessings this upcoming week. Hallelujah. Unexpectedly, it's going to happen. Not that you've not been expecting it, but it's going to be a suddenly, at a moment's time. That which you believe it for is going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said,
amen
and amen.